Going live.
Ready?
Yes.
And we are back. We are back. Welcome to the fourth episode of Cirque du Psyche. That's our podcast. Circus of the Mind. I am your host, Tanner, the Cosmic Potato Farmer. And across from me is my producer, Monica, the Indubitable Space Fox. That was creepy.
It was.
That was creepy.
Oh my gosh. Are you ever going to change our titles?
You know... Why? It's a title.
I don't know.
Where did they even...
nothing to do with who we are.
Why? Does it have to?
I don't know. People are going to be like, what the heck are these people talking about?
Here's a good question. Where did it even come from?
Your crazy mind.
It was the first thing that popped into my head. The first episode, show, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
And I roll with it and then... Why not make it our title? So I got to change it.
Do you not like it?
All right, then. Well, we're going to roll with it.
Yeah. I like foxes.
That's kind of why I came up with it. But it means absolutely nothing. And
everything at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing and everything at the same time. That's so deep.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So anyway, we're recording, right?
We are recording.
Holy crap.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. Welcome to the ride. So... what's going on over there? You got anything to say other than wow?
Get some heavy breathing.
We've already done that. We've already had a heavy breathing segment. Let's move on.
I mean, it's okay to do it every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Okay.
Let's wait to episode 10 to have a moment of heavy breathing again, at least.
Anyway, well, I feel like we're making progress at the farm for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm. Our new farmhands are
a machine.
Amazing.
A machine.
He is a machine.
Yeah.
So he is knocking out.
And he doesn't even require any oiling or anything. Just water him and feed him. And let him go.
Yeah. He's getting our orchard cleaned up and reset for next growing season.
Yep.
So what's going on with you? You always ask me.
Yeah. Well, hey, I always got something. We got an exciting trip coming up. Mm-hmm. Going off the farm to pick up some animals out west, kind of where I probably actually belong.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, a little froggy there. Yeah, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah.
You got nothing else?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just that's weird for me, huh?
It is weird for you.
Yeah.
You always ask the questions. And
Yeah. I ask the questions. That's why. Got any news tidbits over there?
News tidbits?
Anything? Fun factual item or anything to share?
I'm trying to think. I don't have anything. That's your...
I need to get you like a book of 1001 fun facts just so you can say something.
Yeah.
I already know all of them. I probably actually read that book. Useless information.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're full of useless information, though.
I am. Sometimes it comes in useful.
If you were on Jeopardy or something like that.
As long as it's not math.
Yeah.
Jeopardy math questions.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ken Jennings run Jeopardy now?
I think he does.
Oh, that guy's smart.
What's the girl that played on Blossom?
Oh.
Does she still do it or?
Yeah, Ken Jennings. Blah, 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 blah. But I don't know, Blossom.
Blossom. Yeah,
you know, she was actually a neurosurgeon in real life.
She's a genius.
Yeah, she's smart, but she's kind of weird. She co-sleeps with her child.
How old?
I don't know. I've read when she was on Big Bang Theory and it came out that she was actually a neuroscientist in real life because that wasn't what her character was on the show.
Something very similar, I think.
Yeah, and then I read an article about her because I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I just knew her as Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was talking about her point, her life views and the stuff, family values and whatever. And it's just very weird to me.
Mm.
And it wasn't like a little baby.
Mm.
It's almost like that one girl you like to watch, the deaf girl with the cochlear implants.
Yeah.
She's like, 16?
Mm-hmm.
And they all still sleep together.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Can barely sleep in the bed with you, let alone
kids. Oh my gosh, let alone the kids. You've never been able to sleep in the bed with a child, with one of ours.
It's hard for me to sleep in a bed with a person. So I slept by myself so much. An army.
Yeah.
Slept by myself in my little cot. And I don't know. I was always kind of a loner all the time. I like being in the woods.
He's a lone wolf.
I am.
Until I domesticated him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't know. It's hard sometimes. I don't know. Hmm. I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where it's I have to have a routine. If my sleeping routine is messed up, I'm weirded out by it. And used to be I could use a rock for a pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to routinely use my knee pads as pillows in Iraq. That was like the height of luxury.
Oh, my gosh.
A cot with no padding or anything, just cold air under me and my knee pads, and I would cover up my body armor.
Mm.
Sometimes I had my Whoopi with me. If you out there know what Whoopies are, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. Look into it and get you one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Moving on, guys.
Moving on.
I'm not loud enough right now.
You sound very loud to me.
I sound loud? Okay, I sound better now.
I hear you fine. On our brand new equipment, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That board is very colorful. It's like something from my childhood. Like, you know what it reminds me of? A light bright.
It does. And I, yeah.
Kind of digging it. It's kind of retro-y neon 80s colors. Usually neon colors aren't fun to look at, but those are actually fun to look at.
These are very pretty.
It's got orange on there. I like orange. What's your favorite color?
Tiffany blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm gonna interview you one day. That's what we're going to do.
Oh.
The interview. The Indubitable Space Fox interview.
I'm not interesting.
Well.
It'll be a very boring interview.
All you got to do is answer questions.
I answer questions with I don't know.
Yeah, you do. And it's like even if something you do know, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't like being put on the spot.
Well, I'll give you a heads up. Episode 13. There you go. Now you got time to prepare. 4. That's 9. Is that 9? I do math. 9 episodes from now?
Mm-hmm.
You got 9 episodes to prepare for your interview. Oh
gosh, I'm still never going to be ready.
No, we might do it. I don't know. We'll see.
Please don't.
The closer we get, you're going to start like
panicking,
stress crying randomly,
stress eating.
Oh, we are recording, right?
Yeah, we're still recording. So,
I tell you what, if it wasn't for Jeffrey and his cardboard castle, we would just hang this up.
We forgot to shout out Jeffrey last episode.
I'm not going to do it every episode because I don't want Jeffrey thinking he's all high and mighty. He's already got a castle. He wants to wear a crown next, walk around lording over people that he knows that he's going to be on a podcast and
make him feel better about himself.
He lives in a castle. What else does he need?
Oh my God.
He's got a golden toilet. Presumably. I don't know. I've never been there. It just sounds like something. Somebody weird like that, that would have, like their parents were rich enough to let someone live out their days in their basement in a cardboard castle. I think they would have the money to provide their son with a golden toilet.
That sounds expensive, though.
Well, I mean, he's living in a cardboard castle.
He's saving money.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't have to buy him an actual house. There's no college bills. Are you a college dropout, Jeffrey?
Oh my gosh.
What is?
What?
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have a topic today.
Yeah, we got a topic.
We got to get to that topic sometime.
We got a topic. And Monica actually has more notes this time.
I have more notes.
Let's let you lead it.
Oh no. All right. Let's see what I can do.
Are you really?
No.
Wow. I got excited for a second there.
Okay, well, so...
Hold on, let me wet my whistle. My lips are dry. Well, it's cold outside.
You wet your whistle, and I'll say that...
ASMR.
Oh, my gosh. So unnecessary.
It is, and it kind of made me choke a little bit. That's what I get. You mean tell everybody what the topic is?
I guess so. I mean, do it.
Go ahead.
The topic is community. And so,
Nobody can see you doing it. You gotta talk.
I'm posing over here, so everybody who
we're
does
on video
not
videos. Watching. Hey, why don't we explain why we're not doing video? Before we get into a topic,
YouTube's stupid, man.
Well, yeah, that mostly that.
Yeah,
but it's like podcasting. You're talking into a microphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
and you listen to it on a podcast platform, kind of like radio. But nowadays, everybody wants to, like, I wonder what they look like.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to have video?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, sometimes it's cool. Like, Sean Ryan's show, he's got a pretty sweet studio. He's got cool stuff to look at in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You see him get all emotional and stuff like that. And Joe Rogan, but I don't even like watching his. Except for when Will Harris was on there. Will Harris has a pretty sweet hairdo, mohawk type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I guess some people don't like to listen and they'd rather watch and listen, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
At least for now, maybe one day, but I don't feel like it's something we really want to get into.
Yeah. I mean, I do like podcasts on the go.
Yeah, that's exactly
like
right.
When I'm home, I don't want to sit and watch a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can be doing something while you're listening to a podcast. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. If you want to listen to my podcast, you got to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be active. Go do something. Be a productive member of society.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something. Or of your space.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to a podcast on a tractor.
Yeah.
I was coming back from the hay farm today, and guess what I did on the drive? Listen to a podcast.
Which podcast?
Permaculture Pimpcast.
Yeah. Billy Bond.
Go listen to his podcast. It's way better than this one.
Yeah. He has
video also.
He does have video. But
he does like to ramble too.
He does. Which
is awesome.
He has an intro.
Music.
He's got music. He introduces himself. He has farm news. He has.
Are you saying that he's better than us?
I'm just saying he has very set things that he talks about. And then he gets into his topic. And then he has.
Very set things. Come on.
Question.
He does have a topic, but.
I mean, but then he also. He does ramble.
It is, but it's educational rambling. I kind of think that mine is too. Wow. Wow. That was not the reaction I was expecting.
I'm sorry.
Are you crying right now?
It was your face. Face you made.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe we do need a video. So everybody can see what I see.
Yeah. No, it's not necessary.
Oh, anyway. So we're talking about community today.
Yeah. But we will structure ourselves one day.
Anyway.
We're working on it.
We're talking about community.
Community. Something that's very close to our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And
that sounded like it was very scripted. Community, something that is very close to our hearts.
Period.
Period. Like you're not supposed to read the punctuation marks.
Don't read the parentheses.
Tiny black dot.
Okay.
It says tiny black dot with a tail. What does that one mean? That's a cow. All right. Anyway.
I can't. I'm trying to read my notes over here. You're still going.
Community. Our community sucks.
Hey, look, my very first sentence, the community around us kind of sucks.
Yeah, which I hadn't even seen her notes. And it's pretty well known across the board, but mm-hmm. It kind of does.
Yep.
But I don't think we're alone in that aspect in our so-called community.
Yeah.
I think it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
What is community? What does it mean to us? How can we do it better?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to. You got notes over there. We were supposed to talk about something else, and she switched the topic on my right when we turned the microphones on, and she swears she already told me, but she didn't.
I did too.
I'm good at winging it, but I want to hear what you got for notes over there.
All right, so what I said, I said on my notes, when we moved to where we live now 4 years ago.
I know, I'm going to let you get there, but let's back it up a little bit. Monica used to be a city girl. I'm not making fun of you, but the reason I say that is because where we live now is fairly close to where I grew up most of the time.
I was going to get there.
I know, but what I'm saying is, rurally speaking, the communities are pretty strong already, like just naturally. So when I was a kid, community was pretty strong. People looked out for each other's kids. You could ride your bikes all over the place and everywhere. The neighbors looked out for you and then in the city. So kind of explain what that was like.
Living in the city?
Yeah, like your childhood community, which was probably not super bad, But explain what that was like before we get into what it is now.
I lived in a very poor-ish neighborhood to where, like, where we lived, we weren't poor. I don't feel like. My mom's probably listening like, what is she talking about? We weren't poor.
I did the best I could.
But, like, growing up, you didn't go to the back of the neighborhood because that's where the crimes happened. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. I called it the ghetto.
Ghetto.
The ghetto of that town, city we lived in. But, like, the neighbors in the front, we had neighbors that would babysit us. I had friends in the neighborhood. We kind of had, you know, get-togethers and cookouts and stuff. But looking back, yeah, I felt like we had a good group of people, a community that we could rely on, at least in that kind of neighborhood. And then we moved into another neighborhood and it kind of diminished a little bit, but like I still had a bunch of friends and, you know, people you could hang out and rely on.
Yeah.
But,
and what time period was this? 90s?
Yeah. Early 90s, mid 90s.
Good neighbors, community.
Yeah, good neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there was a semblance of community.
Yeah.
But would you also agree that at that time, that rural community, because you did spend a lot of time at your friend's house. They lived actually right around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
From what you saw there, because I didn't really see city life a lot at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly what I knew was our rural communities. Oh, look at that. It's right there, in there. What would you, like, experience in both of those a good deal? How would you compare the two communities? I mean, obviously, you weren't there all the time, so you couldn't experience the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Everything, but you got to know the neighbors around the corner, down the road, from their house.
A little bit. Like. Yeah.
So how would you compare the two?
I mean, there wasn't that many people.
Yeah.
But the fact that we would hang out with the kids down the road, hanging out, we would ride the pony up and down the road and ride, whatchamacallits?
Four-wheelers.
Four-wheelers, like go-karts and stuff, yeah. And hang out. And we had a little, we had freedom.
Yeah.
And we went further away because the threat of being kidnapped wasn't there.
Yeah, because your neighbors looked out for you, didn't try to hurt you.
Yeah.
Or sell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some whatever people do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so fun little mindset or mind vomit thought train. There it is. Train of thought.
Train of thought.
Train of thought. So seeing the two, but you live full time in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you experienced most of the time. So would you say that community is more of a mindset, or is it the physical happenings in said community? And also, the two-part question, try to keep up.
I'm also, already lost.
You did mention, so in a neighborhood, there's a lot more people, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot more people. And then when you were in the rural part at your friend's house, there was a lot less people, but was the community stronger, you felt, with those few people because they're a rural setting? Or how do you feel about that? The two questions I just posed upon you, imposed.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. What was the first part?
Like, because of where you lived, that was your home,
mm-hmm.
and your community. Do you just think back then, do you think you would gravitate more to saying that was a better community because that's what you knew the most and what you were used to?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think the community was better in the rural part that you hung out with less people? I try to put yourself back then. Obviously, I think I'd know what you would answer now, but back then.
I mean, back then, I would probably say in the city. Because that's what I was used to.
That's what you were used to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you knew.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Not sure where I was going with that, but
I don't either.
Well, I think the way I was looking at it is that you're surrounded by a whole bunch of people that work, just say, 9-to-5 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They work, they come home. Like you said, you had some barbecues on the weekends and stuff, weekend warrior type stuff.
Yeah.
Where in the rural, you know, people still worked 9-to-5 jobs, but they have more land freedom, like you said, to move around.
Yeah.
There's less people per area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just wondering what you saw or what you thought about that. Do you think a community with more people is better naturally? Or can a smaller number of people create a better community too?
I think that depends.
Quality.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So anyway, city girl, that's where you can, your
anyway,
community growing up. And
so much for my notes.
No, go ahead, take it away. I was just wanted to let everybody know that how you grew up, your community growing up versus mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So go ahead and give us the deets. I'll shut up and let you talk.
Can I go back?
Until I need to step in. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, we moved pretty much, like you said, your old stomping grounds five years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, cool. You were like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. He still lives there.
Not just knowing it, but like best friends.
Besties.
In school.
They were besties. Yeah.
Like we would wait on each other in the parking lots. And that's how close we were. We weren't just like casual acquaintances in the hallway. So
yeah. So I was like, cool, you already know some people out here. You know, thinking y'all would reconnect, get back in, hanging out with each other, helping each other out, having a community to build know people.
Living like a mile.
Yeah, like literally. Yeah. Not even. It's a couple of them.
Yeah.
But it was like radio silence. It was seriously, they would, hi, how are you? Bye.
You might see each other at the dump and,
yeah,
how's it going? And just keep going.
And then the other neighbors, like we were close to some of them, but the rest, there was no sense of community with them.
Mm.
They had wanted nothing to do with us. They hardly ever came outside. Yeah. Let alone just like driving by. Usually like country people like to wave at each other and not even a whole lot of that. So it's like, okay, years go by, still don't have a community. We made a few friends out here. We do have an awesome neighbor who's also our pastor.
Batman.
He is Batman. We got close with his family, but other than that, we had nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it was about a year ago, we kind of both had been talking about wanting that community, those people that we could rely on. And so we talked about trying to build something from pretty much nothing of a group of, I'm trying to think.
Those like-minded people.
Yeah, like-minded
people. Who were also looking for the same thing and struggling to find it.
Yeah. And so we finally took action.
We took action.
We did.
We're Batman.
What, back in November or so? We started our own community.
I think so, yeah. No, beginning of December. December 7th and 14th.
Well,
the first two.
I know that, but as far as like putting it into plan.
Oh, yeah, like actually moving on it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's called Low Country Preparedness Community.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
We're working on it.
We didn't want to settle on a homesteading persona for this.
Or prepper.
Yeah, prepper.
Preparedness.
Yeah.
Farming, gardening. We wanted to encompass
a little bit of everything.
A community. Like, you don't have to be a homesteader. You don't have to be into preparedness. You don't have to be a farmer to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just craving community.
Yeah.
Community.
It's needing help. In getting that help are two different things.
Yeah.
Or in asking for help.
Yeah.
It's for you. That's hard on you.
I don't like asking for help.
No, you don't.
Because I'm Batman.
Because you think you can do it all and then you complain.
I stab myself in the knee.
And then you complain about your body hurting the next day.
Yeah.
Because you lifted something stupid heavy.
Pick things up, put things down. That's part of the job.
Anyway, so we started this community in the hopes of finding other people who are struggling just like us. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about neighbors, because we figured that out early on that they don't want help.
What used to be your neighbors were kind of like, especially in a rural sector areas, your neighbors were like an automatic community.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit of my background, where I grew up, we grew up on a road that was, it was named after the person who used to own all the land there, essentially. It was a big cattle farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he started selling off pieces of, like, of his land. It was like halfway down the road from his house. His house was on one end. And so, like, further down, he started selling off parcels of land. And back then, this was early 80s, mid 80s or so. And we were like the first ones to buy a 5-acre plot. And interesting side note, back then when you had a ton of land and wanted to sell some off, the pretty sure it was a law that you had to sell, the minimum you can sell was 5 acres.
Yeah.
You couldn't just sell like you do now to develop. Minimum 5 acres, because the local government and whatever wanted people to have a quality of life out there, to have space, have a garden,
mm-hmm.
do whatever they wanted, build whatever they wanted on their land. And now the land developers come in here, lobbied the local government and lined a bunch of pockets. Now they can put 8 houses per acre
mm-hmm.
on these big giant tracts of land. That's pop sick, up neighborhood. Man. Yeah, it's disgusting. So, but when we moved out there, I was about 5-ish or so when we moved to that area,
mm-hmm.
which was just right down the road from where I originally started.
Yeah.
Which was in like literally a shack on the river. But even there, we had awesome neighbors. Miss Tumbleson, I told you about her next door. She's hooked me up with Star Crunches. Oh, yeah. I'd sneak over there and she'd always hook me up one back when they were like the size of my head.
Yeah.
So anyway, so where we moved to this area, one side of the road near Mr. Campbell was his name. He's been gone a long time now. I mean, he was old when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
There was other houses around that area, I think like some family and stuff like that, that he had built up like a little community, family community on that end.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other end of the road, started selling off little bits of property. And then as time went on, we started getting neighbors, 5-acre tracts right next to each other.
Yeah.
And we were friends, or at least knew them well enough to call them with anything, or they could call us anytime if we needed something.
Mm-hmm.
And when the little rural community, neighborhood, whatever you want to call it, built up to several dozen houses here and there, my mom, who didn't have a job at the time, she was like the community babysitter mm-hmm. in the summertime while we were out of school. And so the neighbors would send their kids to my mom during the day, which was awesome because we had kids to play with our age, and she would get paid, or you know, do a barter. I don't know how they did it. I didn't really pay attention. It was just fun having other kids around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty tight-knit community. There was no shortage of help, neighborly kindness, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that was my rural community experience growing up, starting out.
Yeah.
It was pretty chill, pretty awesome. And we were fairly poor too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were struggling also at the same time. It's just kind of the way it is in rural.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of buck the system, do what you want. It's a little bit of struggle involved for the most part back then anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we all helped each other out.
So that road is still there, obviously.
Yeah, and there's like a full-on suburb now.
A lot more houses, a lot more things squeezed in. We actually looked at a house in that area on that road, right?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if we actually were able to buy that house? How do you think that community would have been nowadays?
Well, I actually had a lot of friends there still also.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a lot like now, probably. The reality is, yes, some of those people still live there.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my friends there still, he lives in the house that we actually looked at buying.
Yeah.
He's the one who actually bought it. And so he lives there, but his mom and dad still have their house there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure his aunt still lives there. I know his grandfather's gone. I don't know if his grandmother still lives back there, right next door to where I used to live. excuse me. So, and a handful of other people that I know pretty well mm-hmm. still live on that road and stuff like that. The reality of rural living now, especially in those areas where it's like this field that was there forever. We used to ride the horses through this field. Now there's houses everywhere.
Yeah.
And these people are buying it. They're selling it off. And they're coming from out of state, up north, don't know anything about our way of life down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty closed off because that's what they're used to, where they come from. It's not like anything against them personally, but they bring that lifestyle with them, not thinking that, oh, well, I'm moving to a new area. Let's see how the natives do things. And they find out, hey, I can call my neighbor and literally ask for a carton of eggs. And yeah, we're going to give her a hook you up.
Mm-hmm.
But then whatever. But I think nowadays people come into an area, they want peace and quiet. They want a little slice of heaven, if you will.
Yeah.
And they close themselves off. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I've seen it, like where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that's kind of what it would have been like.
Yeah.
And everybody grows up, goes their own way, has their own thing going on, and you don't have time to hang out, but it's like, what's the big deal of me calling or you calling me, vice versa, and asking for help? But it's almost like I wouldn't say it's part of the victim culture. It's just kind of the, I don't know. It's like you can't just pick up the phone and call people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So we're the most connected we've ever been, but we suck at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it would have been good even there. So
yeah.
And my grandmother lives right down the road. My cousin lives down the road.
Yeah.
Who else lives out there? A lot of people I know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people out there. And even when I'm go back to that area, it's like, I wouldn't dare pull up in anybody's driveway anymore.
Yeah.
Because people
unannounced.
Unannounced. Because it used to be back in the day, if you saw headlights come out of the driveway, it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rang, it was exciting because there was no caller ID. We didn't have an answer machine. We couldn't screen calls. And it was exciting to answer the phone and not having any clue who was on the other end
mm-hmm.
or whose headlights was coming down the road, or if it was daytime and you recognize a vehicle and someone like my grandparents would come over unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
And now even they call and, are you home? Or you know what I mean? It's a weird culture we've created to where we're all so standoffish.
Yeah.
But it used to be exciting to get visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's got a lot to do with why our community sucks now. So, and I think the people who crave community, who want that lifestyle back, they're scared to approach that.
Yeah.
They're scared to call people. Even like when I tell them, hey, if you need anything, because people ask us all the time about our way of life, raising animals, mm-hmm. butchering animals, being a little more self-reliant. And we love teaching people that. We love helping people with that. And we tell them, like, look here, I don't care if it's you got a sick pig you're raising for meat. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and it looks like he needs some emergency help or he's not going to make it. That's your food.
Yeah.
Call me. I don't care what time it is, because that's what a real community would be about, helping each other out. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's anything like that. But we've created this standoffish culture to where, leave me alone, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, people are actually putting up doormats now that say, go away.
I'm hoping that's more of a joke.
I think it's serious? Kind of a joke, but I think a lot of people mean it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, but it's not all doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. So explaining the way you grew up and your view of your community, direct community growing up and where we're at now, what does community mean to you? Like, how would you define community, like an ideal community in your eyes?
People helping each other in times of need.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to bounce ideas off each other, just talking and communicating. Like, we homestead, but this person might not, and might not be interesting to them, but they might have something else hopping.
Our eggs are interesting to them.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
They like our eggs. It's
they
cool.
They got another skill to add to the community.
Yeah. Like, they can do something else. They can food.
Or they might be techie and can help me, you know, set a time on my VCR.
Yeah.
We still do that? People still do that?
I guess
Why
not.
Why was that such a big deal back then? Remember that? I was like, oh, I got to set a time on my VCR. I can't go out tonight. Was it that hard?
I don't know.
Like, they're always flashing 12.
I don't know.
Weird. Yeah, anyway. I'm that old. so is Monica.
I'm not as old as
you
are.
You're not as old as me, but you remember that. I'm pretty sure your mom still had one below her TV that was always flashing 12 there. That old school entertainment system thing that they had under their TV at the old house.
That was a very simplistic TV system compared to what we had, where the speakers were like...
Yeah, like 3 foot tall. You can stand on them.
Yeah.
They doubled as furniture.
We had surround sound speakers.
Yeah, it was like wires. You had to be careful where you walk to go get your popcorn because you'll break your foot in the middle of a movie.
Yep.
Oh, man, the good old days.
Yep.
Danger everywhere. Now, anyway, getting back to it, this is a very chaotic topic here.
Yeah.
No, so, yeah, let's tighten it up here. Because I think community is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that community, true community, has been systematically destroyed.
Yeah.
I really think it's under attack. Spiritually, by the government, you know, pick your poison. I think it's all, it's under attack. Like, whatever powers are out there that don't want us doing this have done a very good job of making us build those walls and putting roadblocks in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why can't I sell meat from my house without the government telling me, yes, you can do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why can't we start a business from our home without getting the business from the government?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just there's a lot of things, especially in a rural community sector, that are becoming quote unquote illegal to do. Why? Who is it affecting? You know who it's affecting? The government's pockets.
Yeah.
Really is what it comes down to, because we grow awesome eggs and food and stuff. But it's not all, we talk about the food aspect of it because that's what we are about, right?
Yeah.
We grow our own food, vegetables, meat, eggs, all this stuff, you know, but it's not all about that. You don't have to move to a rural community and be a homesteader. That's not what we're saying. But I think there's a certain, just like we talked about farming in the last episode or whatever it was, people romanticize farms.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's getting to the point now to where people romanticize a good community to the point where, like, oh, I wish we could do that. Why not? Walk over to your neighbor's house. Talk to them. Introduce yourself. That's how we met our neighbor.
Yeah.
Who is awesome. And guess what he does sometimes? Shows up unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
And we might sit and talk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But it's just, I don't think some people want it either.
Yeah.
They move out to the country and they think they just need to wall themselves off and don't mess with me and I'm going to do my own thing. And where, like, the people next to us had just moved in on that piece of land. I walked over there and talked to them and invited them. Y'all ever need anything, whatever. And this is what we do, who I am. And let's get together and cook some meats one day. And
radio silence.
Yeah. Hadn't heard a word.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, just like anything else, you can't do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be another reason why our community sucks, because are people so lazy that they think there's supposed to be one person or a couple or a household in the area that's supposed to do everything? They just get to sit back and chill.
Yeah.
Right? Any thoughts on that?
I thought you were still going.
No. But yeah, so we're trying to build a good community here. It's hard because you can't really put your finger on what it really is. Like, why does it suck? And I think me moving back to this area where I know almost everybody where we're at, it's almost like they look at me like I'm weird. Because, hey, you moved away.
Yeah.
What are you doing out there? Where did you go? Like, why are you back?
You went over the wall. Yeah, and you came back.
Exactly.
Why'd you leave?
Exactly. And it's like, these people are like in the same spot they were when I left.
Literally.
Which is fine if that's what you want to do. But hey, bro, you know me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You've seen things and done things and experienced life in other countries. And then they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't want to know what you did.
Yeah. But it's strange. And, but speaking to that fact, it's almost easier to just go out, find all new people, and just start over from scratch.
And that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah. And, yeah. So we're putting out the call, trying to attract people. And, you know, and it's amazing that the people who want community and they contact you and they want to get involved and then you never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but they're usually the ones that complain about not having community.
Yeah.
The most.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're right here. We actually talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have to do?
Yeah. Like, you have our number.
Yeah, you got our number.
If you need something, you know where we live. You have our number.
Yeah.
Get a hold of us. Like, we are wanting to help people, but then they don't come to us for help.
Yeah.
And then they complain about it, like you said.
Or if we try to contact a person with a certain skill set or something and they, it's over and over. Well, okay, I get it. Yeah, family emergency, whatever the excuse is, but it's every single time we need help. But I'm going to tell you right now, when they need help, guess who they call?
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and then also, they feel like a burden to us.
That's another big thing. I think that's part of that attack on community is that people feel like, oh, I'm burdening you with my problems. No, man. That's how humanity was designed to work in my eyes. We weren't designed to just go get a big giant piece of land and work on it all by ourselves and everything's going to be hunky-dory and perfect and whatnot. No, you need other people and you're not a burden until you become one.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other subject, but... Mm-hmm. So, moving on, I feel like we're starting to, like, we're venting right now.
Yeah.
Let's not do
all
that.
Right. But we're not venting on here.
How do you see going about building a community? So, let's not just talk about what we have going on, but if someone came to you and said, hey, you got a good community, what can we do? We're not just going to give them our playbook because it's not going to work like that across the board, right?
Yeah.
What do we envision as a complete functioning community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to flip-flop those, but I'll roll with it. So I'm kind of going backwards on myself. So how to build community, honestly, this is kind of a hard topic for me because we're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's something that we need to address. Hopefully somebody out there hears this and is like, yeah. You know what I mean? And my community sucks too.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll spark somebody to get up and start a community in their area or whatever.
Yeah.
Or join ours or something if you know who we are. Anyway, so how do we go about building a community? I mean, first of all, you have to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people wait. What? It's the whole thing. I'll wait till the time's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when is that going to be?
Yeah.
When you're too old to contribute or broken or whatever, I don't know, and you just sat around and didn't acquire any skill sets to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to talk to people. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to go over to your neighbors. Your community doesn't have to be your immediate neighbors.
Yeah.
We have people in our community that we're building in other states.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a community doesn't have to be just your immediate outside your door neighbors just on your road. It can be a huge area of people who are willing to go to distance and help each other out. But how do you get there? You got to talk to these people.
Yeah.
You have to spark up conversations with people. I know I drive you crazy because I'll talk to somebody I don't know for like an hour while we're out and about. But guess what? I'm connecting with that person and getting to know them. And a lot of the times we have a lot in common actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we might swap numbers. Right. And hey, he might live 30 minutes away from me or 20 minutes away, but guess what? He's perfect for our community. And that's what people get tripped up on that. And when they see, oh, my neighbors don't want to do this and I'm stuck here and I got no, you know, I'm all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we have cars.
Yeah.
We have phones.
It's a lot easier to get from place to place now. Like, yeah. We're not saddling up the horses and...
Yeah, which would be awesome. I love...
A day's ride.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. An hour ride into town. It takes like 5 minutes to get there in a car.
Yeah.
But yeah. So why are we so disconnected, but we're so connected at the same time? Because I think we're a one-up society.
Yeah.
It's easier to BS people. Oh, look what I did today. Look what I made to stay in the other. And like, oh, cool. I want to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And you contact him and find out, oh, it was just a picture. Didn't actually, like, oh.
That pretty Instagram farm that everybody's jealous of is probably just one picture of a little section of their yard.
Yeah, nobody sees the junk pile.
Yeah. Everything else is trash.
If you go to a farm and they don't have a junk pile, they're not a real farm.
Leave.
Yeah. Yeah, don't throw anything away. Junk's treasure piles.
Yes.
Who talked about that? Was it Billy?
Billy.
I think Joel Salatin talks about it in his books too.
Scrapsteading.
Yeah. Got to have a junk pile.
Yeah.
It's functional. It's real. Is that another thing? You think about people coming over now. All right. So now back in the day, most women didn't go to work.
Yeah.
The wife stayed home, homemaker, took care of the kids, cleaned, cooked, and all that stuff. That was her job, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think they look down that like traditional wife thing, whatever, trad wife, what they call it now, whatever.
I don't know.
But that's, like, even the Bible says, that's a very sacred occupation. Yeah, you may not get paid from that, but you got food, you got housing, you got a family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you got a good husband who's not a piece of trash, but I feel like back in the day, it was more or less, that's how things worked. Right. Mm-hmm. So now with the women having to go to work or wanting to because of the Me Too movement or whatever, and empowering or whatever, or for whatever reason. So both parents have to be gone from the house.
Yeah.
Breaking up the family a little bit. But anyway, back in the day, the mom kept the house clean, which was a lot easier because kids played outside. They weren't inside all day and making a mess. And when people showed up unannounced, your house was nice and clean, and you had coffee brewing and maybe some pastries or something. People come in, sat down, and talked for a while. But nowadays, I know our house ain't clean. Well, it's not dirty, but it's messy because we're hardly ever there. But
yeah.
And it's one of those things where, oh, man, I don't want people to see how I live. My house is messy. It's like I got clothes on the couch. And, you know, like, did the boys clean the bathroom?
Oh, gosh. Just,
who cares? Like, honestly, yeah, it's not ideal, but
yeah,
honestly, who cares? Yeah, you're busy, you know, and maybe that's got something to do with it now. And the whole, I don't want to see you in person, but I want you to see my Instagram post, my Facebook post, because that's where I really look good.
Mm-hmm.
But don't talk to me in real life. Don't come over.
That's what people want.
A social community, social media community.
To see.
Yeah.
It's the pretty side of their lives.
Yeah. Life ain't really all that pretty. Let's be honest.
It's messy.
It's very messy.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. So in my eyes, an ideal community isn't always just about, I think a community should be somewhat based around self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A good community should be able to survive whatever comes, power blackouts, storms, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Red Dawn, maybe not that extreme, but hey, good community could. So everybody doesn't have to do the same thing. And I think that's another thing too, as well, already do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or I don't do what you're doing. How can I contribute? Bro, we don't need 50 people that are mechanics or farmers or techie people. You need a healthy mix of everybody.
Yeah.
Like we talked about before, your neighbors, if you're good at growing one thing, your neighbor's good at growing something else, do that and then trade, swap.
Yep.
So it's not just move out to the country, get a bunch of land, and start homesteading and then try to find a community. We have people in our community that we're starting, building, that live in like a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they contribute different things. Different skill sets, talents. We have one person who is a physical trainer.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, what's crazy though to me is that everybody who's really interested in a community, no matter what your main skill set is, like, you know, physical trainer, mechanic, I don't know what the other guy does.
Oh,
what did
no.
he say he does? Oh, man. I'm glad I'm not saying your name, but
oh,
I feel bad now. But
we've I think
only,
he's we've
only met you once.
I think we're going to see him soon, so.
But whatever he does. But they all are interested in some way or another in growing some type of food.
Yeah.
Or at least medicinal type stuff, mm-hmm. right? So it all goes back to that because to live, you need food, water, space, shelter,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's what it needs to be kind of based around is self-reliance. But to make that work, you can't have everybody just raise pigs.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, you will get tired of eating pork.
Oh.
you will get tired of eating the same kind of meat over and over.
Yeah.
But have having a diverse community. And we are, I think, the most diverse that we could possibly be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So why does community suck? Why is it so hard to get people together, to come together and do this consistently, mind you? Because people will be like, oh, I'm so bought into this. It's awesome. Let's do this forever. And then, oh, hey, we're going on a trip to Disneyland or somewhere. And, okay, well, what about this and your plans? Oh, well, when we get back, we'll save up again and do it. Like, I'm pretty sure Mickey Mouse ain't coming to your rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, once that money's gone, it's gone.
It's gone, and it's getting harder and harder to save it back up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think it is a mindset, like we talked about before. It's not just, you know, being there physically. You got to be in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like I say, they romanticize it. They get into it, and they're like, this is a lot more work than I thought it was. Like, I have to actually leave my house to come help you?
Yeah.
Well, if you want me to leave my house to come help you, yeah.
Yeah.
You better. Yeah, it's a give and take. It's not just like we don't take score.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't take score, and that's the wrong attitude to have. Now, there comes a time where you got that one person who just consistently never shows up but always wants help.
Yeah.
They're not part of your community. They have to either have to remediate that or they got to go.
Yeah.
And I don't mean run them out, but just stop answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Stop coming to their rescue, and maybe they'll learn and come around. That's the best hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And or maybe they'll be like, well, this ain't for me. And they'll move and somebody else might move in.
Yeah.
Right? It kind of takes care of itself when you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be in the right mindset. You got to be available. And we understand we have lives. You have a life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not available. But be at least somewhat consistent. Right? Mm-hmm. And communities don't have to be huge. Either people think like hundreds and hundreds of people, right?
Yeah.
A community can be five really close families that are awesome at doing community, helping out, doing different things, and getting to that point of self-reliance to where no matter what happens, whatever, we're going to get through it,
mm-hmm.
just like we did last time.
Yep.
Like right now, our community is pretty small. We hope to grow it to a point to where we aren't just leading this entire massive army of a community, but to grow it to a point where you have this huge network of people willing to help each other, but have, okay, this is an entirely completely independent community over here that grew out of this. And we got our completely independent community over here that grew out of this and another one over here. But then could you imagine having an actual separate functioning communities side by side in different counties and states and towns and stuff that all started from one thing and then they function pretty well independently within themselves. But when you need help, an entire community on top of yours is willing to come and help.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking to build.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not looking to lead anything. That's not what we're saying. We want to be in charge of all this. It says we want to spark this idea of community and people to the point to where, okay, let's stand up and actually do this. Let's actually show up when we're called to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get out of our comfort zone a little bit. But I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes people call me, bro, I just sat down. Been on my feet all day. But guess what? I might complain about it, not to your face, but you know what? Who's going to show up? I'm going to show up and help because, yeah, I'm tired. And I'm like, bro, that's the last thing I want to do right now is go do this after I've been doing some X, Y, and Z all day. But when I get out there and start helping, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
It really does. And whine and complain about it while you're putting your boots on, get out of your system and go help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what community is. Just being available.
Yeah.
Man, providing something. you know, fill in the gaps, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
What else you got over there? Got any other bullet points that I can ramble about?
No.
That was it?
No. I don't have any more. Don't look.
Yeah.
No. I think, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do, like, what did you say earlier, what we call our little...
I did.
A little movement, if you will, we're trying to start.
Yes.
What is it called? I forgot what it's called.
Oh, my gosh.
Low Country. I'm going to get it. Hold on. Low Country. Not if I got the word right. Low Country. I got it right. Low Country Preparedness Community.
Yes.
I don't particularly like that name, but that's what we're starting with.
Yeah.
Because we try, like we said, we did say earlier, we did cover this. We're trying to encompass a wide range of people. We don't want it to sound like, oh, you see our little flyer up wherever. Oh, I don't fit into that. And it was really hard to write up something to kind of make it sound like, oh, yeah, you are included.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we're slowly growing, slowly. We hadn't really got into it yet. We started it right at the holidays.
Yeah. We have met a couple people.
Yeah, and they're awesome.
And they are fully on board with this community.
Yeah.
There's a couple that weren't able to make those.
For legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make those meet and greets, but they're still very much interested in wanting to meet us and
so
get involved.
Yeah, so that's just a thing. If you don't have a community, get up and start one.
Mm-hmm.
Just try. You know, it's better to have 5 really dedicated, good people and have a very strong community than have 100 people living on your road that don't even look at you when you come outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can accomplish some amazing things with the right people. And that's really all we're looking to do. And I hope it made sense how we explain why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not trying to bash anybody. We're not trying to bash my neighbors and my old friends who don't really want to talk to me anymore. And I mean, I'm not complaining about it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm not whining about it. It was just very odd to see that. And that's kind of what made us start thinking like, whoa, like, you know, I don't feel like I could call this guy and he would show up.
Mm-mm.
We're back in the day. Like, yeah, we would definitely have showed up for each other. And it's just a very odd feeling. It got us to thinking like, man, this is weird now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it used to be, you moved to a community, man. You didn't have to cook for a month.
Yeah.
Bro, every neighbor would bring you food.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like homemade food. And it was awesome. And call me if you need something.
Mm-hmm.
He's out checking your mail. And somebody, you couldn't check your mail without stopping. Somebody stopping, driving by and talking to you.
Yeah.
That's just how it was. And now it's, man, people drive by 70 miles an hour just so they don't have to even think about slowing down and stopping to talk to you.
They won't even look your way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. And now it's, if people... People are always trying to sell you something now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I'll come help out if you buy what I'm selling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, bro, don't be like that. You know, because I would come. I might buy what you got, but I'm not going to now because.
That's all they want from you.
You made it weird. You don't make it weird.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's hard. It's weird now. But let's work on it. You have people out there listening. If you hear this. Start a community.
Yep.
And if you already got one, make it stronger.
Yeah.
So our goal for this year, we have a community goal for this year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to just keep meeting people. We want to be productive in the community. So we want to meet more people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to meet a variety of people and keep building this. But we also want to start hosting some workshops maybe.
Yes.
Start teaching people some things, having other people within the community. Teach us some things.
Yeah.
We're always learning. If you're not learning, then you're not earning. Did I just make that up?
I don't know.
Sound like something Billy would say.
Oh, man.
He's my hero.
He's our inspiration.
And it is like the king of one-liners. He really, it's a Permaculture Pimp cast. Go listen to that podcast. It's way better than this one. They already said that.
So keep listening to us, too. Yeah. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, after this one, go listen to his. Like, he's got a pretty good presence on social media and YouTube and stuff, and they're struggling with like physical community. That's what his wife, Michelle, said on a podcast recently, that their goal, kind of like us for this year, is to actually come up with a physical community. They got the community through their YouTube channel and their podcast, but then they realized because they lived somewhat near where the contrived storm hit, and they realized that we don't actually have a really good physical community around here, and they're really well known, right?
Yeah.
And we're nobody's around here, and we just decided to start talking into space. Hopefully somebody hears it. And so, but yeah, I mean, that's not what this is about, but hopefully somebody hears it and does something.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do something? No? Crickets? No, seriously.
Yeah, right now we're trying to, like you said, we're trying to meet people.
Yeah.
We're trying to grow our community a little bit. And then from there, we're going to start having things at our place, things at their place.
Yeah.
Holding workshops. We are actually going to a good friend, our besties. We're going to our besties to butcher pigs.
Yeah, help them butcher pigs.
And then we're going to call up the few people that are in our community and, hey, this is what we got going on. Can y'all come help?
Yeah, and what's the old saying? Many hands make light work.
Yeah. So the more people, the faster this is going to go.
Yeah.
So things like that. Like if y'all got something going on, you know, we're going to be there.
Yeah. Call somebody. Let somebody know. That's another thing too, is don't expect someone just to check in like, hey, you got anything going you need help with?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen that way.
Yeah.
It's as awesome as that might be, but that's why we used to call around to people. Hey, I hadn't heard from so-and-so in a while. I hadn't talked to so-and-so in a while. You call and find out, hey, I've been trying to get my freaking tractor running for a week. And well, what do you need? I got that part sitting right here in my barn.
Yep.
Why don't you call me, idiot? No. But yeah, so if you're in, how do we say it? Charleston, South Carolina, Walterboro, Somerville, Beaufort areas.
Orangeburg. Not that far.
Yeah. Like I said, we want it to be sprawling, sprawling community.
Yeah.
If you're in that area, look us up. What are you on? Facebook? You got it on Facebook or something? The old book face? The community page.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if you go, I have made it public so people can find it.
Oh, okay.
So Low Country Preparedness Community on Facebook. We have a group. I'm trying to do better about posting on there. I have talked about our little meet and greets on there coming up. And that's kind of like where I'm reaching out to people.
Yeah.
But then I also have more of a private group, like once you're more serious, I guess.
Yeah, like the core group kind of people.
Not really even the core group, but just like.
Yes, but like.
The people who are actually
the more consistent, committed. Yeah, more consistent people.
Yeah, to this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, let's be real. Anytime you start something like this, you get somebody, oh, I want to be your friend, is, and they try to sell you real estate.
Exactly.
Or something. It's like, bro, get off of here.
You're not allowed to promote your business.
That's not what this is about. If I need a house, I'll call you, but don't get on here and peddle your wares.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you got a small business and we want to support you, that's fine. But it seems like every time you do something, someone's trying to sell you real estate.
Yeah.
Is that just like the new lower back tattoo of our society to be a real estate agent?
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure somebody said that about podcasting one time. But I don't care, whatever. But you want to be a real estate agent, it's fine. But don't get on my group over here and try to sell me a house. I got a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
If you happen to be in the area on January 25th.
So our home base, if you will, is Walterboro. That's where it's kind of centered, the surrounding area thereabouts.
Continue. I was working on
Continue.
That.
Okay.
We are having a meet and greet. You can come meet us for the first time.
Or let somebody know about it.
Or let somebody who might be interested in coming or whatever. We are meeting at Call It In Coffee in Walterboro, South Carolina, January 25th at 1 p.m.
It's on Main Street.
Main Street.
In Walterboro.
It's not called Main Street,
though. It's not very hard to find.
Yeah, look up Call It In Coffee.
It's super awesome place.
Yeah. It's on Google.
The Googles. That's another nasty word.
Google it.
Yeah.
No, search it, whatever.
Search it, yeah.
What does Billy say? Google's not a verb. Verb.
This has been one shameless plug for our community and Billy's podcast.
Billy! We love Billy, man.
We do, but this is my podcast, all right?
This isn't about Billy. No,
it's not about you, Billy. It's about me.
Oh, my gosh. So actually, our last podcast where we talk about Billy and all the other awesome people, I did put them in the search.
Show notes? We got show notes?
It's not show notes. Oh. It's kind of like...
Always sounded like it'd be fun to say...
Show notes.
The show notes.
They're Monica, in the show notes.
Monica put that in the show notes because I don't know how to.
I don't know how to either. But anyway, it's like keywords.
Oh.
And I've put Billy Bond. I put permaculture. Pimpcast is on there.
Yeah. So, so Pimpcast also stands for permaculture is my passion. So he's not a pimp.
He's not.
But he is the pimp daddy, but he's the right kind.
So the right kind of pimp.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't even think about that, saying that. Like, ew.
Ew. Yeah. The pimp cast? I'm not going to listen to that.
But you'll thank us. Anyway. So I have another. Are you done promoting?
I am done.
Okay. So something else I thought about. So community. So I always go back to the Old West. Was one of my favorite time periods. And like I said, we're going to build a Western town one day because that fascinates me how that happened. Those were huge communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was involved to some extent. You have people who stayed within like the heart of that community or moved out to surrounding ranches and stuff, but were still tied to that city, town, whatever community, whatever it was they named it or called it. So nowadays you think about a town, like our town, Walterboro. I mean, I'm not scared to say that's, we don't live anywhere really near there, but that's our closest city, town, big town. I wouldn't really call it a city. We're still kind of a small town.
Yeah.
But so obviously we don't live anywhere near there, but that's where our nearest town is. Like that's where we go to if we need to go to the grocery store or wherever to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere. So, well, I think a lot of people, the reason we're losing out on community is nobody really cares what's going on. Well, I live such and such miles away from there. Why should I care what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Because that local government or runs that town that you don't care about affects what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's something I just thought of that people overlook because I am 43.
You're 43. 43. He's 43,
yes. And like just within the last year, I started getting interested in local politics.
Yeah.
Because... oh man, that's a whole different subject, but just a massive beatdown over the last 8 to 10 years in the political realm with all the stupidity and just blatant corruption. People don't give a crap anymore, and people starting to feel like, well, my vote don't matter. Bro, it still does.
Yeah.
But stop focusing on the big stuff and focus on where you're at.
Yeah.
That's your community, even if you don't live directly there. Your local government is pretty powerful in your immediate community.
Yeah.
And a lot of people overlook that. And then they get mad, oh, the housing law has changed, you know, or a farming law changed. Well, who did you vote for?
Mm-hmm.
Because what is it? What's the saying? If I'm a butcher, but something about not voting. You're either an activist or an inactivist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who said that.
Billy.
Is it Billy? Dadgummit.
No. You are totally making this Billy's podcast.
Yeah, Billy. This is the permaculture pimp cast. No, but seriously. And he actually is a big reason why I started paying more attention.
Because
I've learned so much from his podcast in the last little bit. And he's not the reason why I started my podcast. That's a whole different story. But it's massively important that you pay attention to your local government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing we've been doing. Is we're trying to get involved. We're trying to build some relationships with local businesses in town.
Mm-hmm.
The coffee shop is one of them.
Yeah.
We get their coffee grounds. And they also come to find out one of the owners is on the campaign team or was on the campaign team of a guy who ran for Senate.
Yes.
I see. I'm still learning the structure.
Mm-hmm.
But we supported him and we actually got to know him. We're not like, I don't have his phone number, but, or, you know, I don't see him all the time, but we recognize each other now. We stop and say, hey, and stuff, and just get to know him. He didn't win, which is sad, but we paid attention.
Yeah.
We got involved, and we found out why we would want this guy in there, not the other guy.
Who's been
in
there.
And then we find out that this other guy has been, he's the reason we're in the mess we're in. A lot of people don't even pay attention to that. Well, this area sucks. Yeah, maybe. But maybe it's not your neighbors or the people you're not talking to. Maybe it's the stupid laws that say you can't do this on your land or your property, you can't do this, that, or the other. You find out why. And I think that's really overlooked in a community is the local quote-unquote leadership in the local governments, the sheriffs. Like your sheriff, especially in like a smaller town, I'm sure in the big cities too, but they're just corrupt anyway. Not saying that small town sheriffs can't be corrupt, but I think sheriffs are very, that's a very important position.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to that. Pay attention to who your sheriff is. Pay attention to who your district leaders are. But yeah, so anyway, it's something I'm learning more about and get more interested in. I didn't think I'd ever be interested in politics. I was there not long ago. Like, I'm never going to vote again because it don't matter.
Yeah.
Or it's just, I mean, we could get into it one day about the corruption that we saw.
Yeah.
Because we were a lot more involved than we would have been just going to the ballot, casting our vote, going home and watching the polls or waking up next morning and see who won. But we got to experience firsthand some corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was, and if you're paying attention, it's, you see it, right? And then you can tell people about it. And but that's, I also think that's a big part of community too. It's not just your people helping you and stuff. It's keeping the junk out of your area through local politicians, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like it or not, the way they make you think that, oh, they're in charge, you have no voice, bro, the Constitution, we actually run the show. It's harder and harder for people to understand it or do that. They're scared to stand up and have a voice, but it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've gotten so far away from that where it doesn't seem like it, but it's still true. And if we wake up and form communities that pay attention to that, we can actually make some real change. Can't sell eggs out of your house? Change the freaking farming laws. Pick whatever. Can't live in a tiny home on your house? Change the housing laws. Change the regulations, right?
Yeah.
So, and the more voices, the better.
Yep.
Right? So that comes with creating a tight-knit community that's willing to help each other out. You might not even live in this area. But if I bring my homies from my little community that we helped build down to your community, and we all march up to, you know, to the town hall meeting and show a presence, because that's how these people are getting away with it. You're allowed to go to your town hall meetings and see what's going on and have a voice, but when nobody cares, nobody shows, they're like, eh, whatever, we'll do what we want.
Yeah.
Raises for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pay attention, bro. Get some communities out there and help each other out.
Yep.
I feel like this was a very chaotic topic. It's hard to stay on topic with this one, I think, because there's so many ways you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird right now. It's so hard. It used to be, it was like, what does community mean to you? Oh, neighbors helping each other out. We used to have fish fries.
Yeah.
Friday fish fries at the local church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody catch a bunch of brim, make some hush puppies and some grits.
You need to catch something, other fish besides brim for me.
You don't like brim?
They're too much work, man.
Oh my gosh. See, don't want to put in the work for something good.
Oh my gosh. I like redfish.
I grew up on brim, though.
And I grew
see,
up on
and
redfish.
You grew up on redfish. See, it's all perspective.
Ugh, yummy. Now I want fish.
I've been wanting fish. I'm doing the, oh, by the way, my little diet is a roaring success so far. What am I, 8 days in?
8 days in.
Down 11 pounds.
Down 11?
Oh, yeah.
You made the one.
Yeah, I got a one.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I haven't seen a one from my weight in quite a while. And I'm not fat.
No, you're not.
I'm muscular. I'm dense.
You're a dense boy.
Thicker than a Snicker.
Oh, no. No, can't do that to me. I love it.
No, don't do it. I'm not going to allow it. So anyway, yeah, but yeah, we're getting way off topic again. Let's ramble. Let's close it out.
Okay, good. I'm cold over here.
I'm fine.
I'm this whole time I've been cold.
Yeah, you look cold.
And
I'm
fidgety.
I think that's why I kept pushing it, like make you more uncomfortable.
Make
you
it
get
worse.
The more it pleases me.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
any
guys.
Closing thoughts. What do you got over there? You actually did a lot of talking this time.
Yay. I did better.
That shows you how important community is. She actually had something to say.
And that's because it means so much to me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we will not survive without community.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. That's the way I look at it. You won't survive. I mean, we're not like doomsayers or whatever, fear mongers. We're not, but mm-mm. we've come to realize that, like, even here on the farm, it was just us two for the last 2 years. Like, we built this farm basically from the ground up. Like, everything on this farm has our DNA on it.
Everything. Blood, sweat, tears.
Blood, yeah, literally a lot of blood for me anyway.
Lots of sweat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too, sweat. But a lot of probably more blood than sweat for me.
Tears for me.
Yeah. But, yeah, and we realized, like, dude, even, like, this is hard.
Yeah.
But now we got people, and they're actually part of our community.
They are.
They're two new people's hands.
Farmhands.
Yeah, and just the last 2 days, 3 days now, gotten done what I couldn't do in a month.
Yeah.
Alone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you need people. And it's not just like a preparing for the worst type of thing. It's just everyday stuff, man. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You need community.
Yeah.
You need to get together and talk to people, man. Come, go talk to people.
Yeah.
That's your homework for today if you're listening.
Go talk to people.
Go actually talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I know it's weird.
See what y'all can barter with. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You got a skill.
Yeah. Just bring it up. Go to your neighbor and say, hey, I heard this weirdo on a podcast today that gave me homework. And it's like, well, first of all, why are you doing what I'm telling you to? Just got nothing else going on. But anyway, but yeah, go talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. This is what I'm about. What do you do? And if they're willing to talk to you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be amazed. Like, dude, why didn't I come talk to you sooner? And you may have a lot in common, and start a barter system.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Skills.
Skills, yeah. Carpentries, gardening.
Tips.
Tips?
You know, knowledge.
Oh, those kind of tips.
Not that kind of tip. I ain't tipping you.
You're going to have like the little, like you tip see jar. People do. Yeah, tip jar, the little, turn your phone around. It's got the little percentage thing on there because you check, you know. Yeah.
What is it? The bellhop?
Yeah,
with your hand out.
Like Mr. Bean and give him a cough drop.
I love Mr. Bean.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay.
So.
Wrap this up.
We didn't know word of the day today. And I think we know what it is. Did you look it up earlier?
No, I didn't look it up.
So, we have weird conversations. And we were talking about ruminants. A ruminant is an animal. I don't know how to define ruminant. Maybe we should define all of it. But we have a very specific one. So a ruminant is something that chews their cud, I would say. Right? And you have true ruminants. You have pseudo-ruminants. And a deer, from what I understand, or any animal that sheds its antlers. So you're thinking deer, like white-tailed deer, mule deer, elk, right?
Yeah.
Moose, mises, they shed their antlers, right? Yeah, they shed their antlers. So they're actually called ungulates, and we're going to look up what the definition of ungulate actually is. What? So I've hunted deer.
I hunt deer.
I hunted them deers all my life, you know, on and off, mostly for food. I'm not a trophy hunter, but I never knew that. Never knew the word until we were watching the Hunt in Public, and we heard him say that.
Yeah.
So, I'm filling dead space over here because you know how to spell it. Ungulate.
Well, so what came up, like auto, not even autocorrect, but like it's ungulate.
Ungulate.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it wrong.
I think so.
Ungulate.
So
like
what?
Ungulate.
Ungulate. Ungulate. Ungulate.
So not ungulant. Ungulant.
Ungulate.
Well, what does it say?
Okay. So. Literally refers to any animal with hooves.
What?
A hoof being an enlarged toenail.
Ew. I don't like this definition. So it has nothing to do with what we thought.
It just says a mammal with hooves.
That's weird. That's not what I understood it to be. Oh, now we know. That was a terrible word of the day.
I think we need to scrap this whole section. I'm disappointed.
Oh, so actually, no, because it leads into the farming definition from last time. Remember?
Yeah.
The bumpkins.
Oh, my gosh.
So I could not find my old dictionary. I think one of our sons has it for his homeschool. But we did find one that was revised in 2001.
Yeah.
And the definitions were actually worse.
Yeah.
So we're still on the search. I'm going to have to go to the library and see if they have like an old dictionary and see what it says. Because I remember farmer just having one. It's a simple definition of what a farmer is.
Yeah.
But now it's all, you know, the whole business thing and making us sound stupid.
Yeah, we're just bumpkins still.
Stupid.
All right.
You're ready to go, ain't you?
I am.
I keep talking.
I'm still cold and I just got hungry. Going.
Let's do a whole other topic.
We're already at an hour and 26 minutes right now.
Oh, we're at like an hour 27 last time, right?
Just about.
Man.
We got one more minute to fill.
Oh, that's it? Yeah.
Anyway.
So, anybody want to say hi to out there? Does Leanne still listen?
I hope my aunt's still listening.
Leanne, if you're listening, we love you. Thank you for listening.
We hope this entertains you.
Yeah, a little bit at least. We can get a little weird off topic. But hey.
We're trying.
Yeah. I mean, she knows me. She knows I probably talk too much.
I don't know. You're pretty quiet at family get-togethers.
It's because it's loud. I don't get to talk. Your side of family is loud. Yeah. It's loud. They do all the talking for me. I just watch.
You nod and disappear out the door.
Smiling. No, yeah, I go to hang out in the playground with the kids. But anyway, nobody knows what we're talking about but Leanne. So.
Yeah. And maybe any of my other family that might be listening.
Yeah. But yeah. You got a loud family on that side. Mm-hmm. It's all right, though. It's okay to get rowdy at family functions every now and then. No fights, though.
No, never.
Has there ever been a fight at one of your family functions?
No.
Not even like when you're a little kid?
I don't remember.
Oh, I have.
I can picture yours.
Oh, yeah. You think your family's crazy? You always, well, I don't really talk to mine no more. They're crazy. Yeah, we've had some fights on my side.
Yeah. I mean, look at our wedding.
Yeah, there was probably some.
No, I'm not even getting into that. Yeah. No, never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, my side is, yeah, we hang out too long. Somebody's going to fight. That's why we don't get together. Very few of us do. We have like a little tight-knit group that does, and we can survive.
Mm-hmm.
But if the whole extended family gets together, there's somebody's going to get in a fight.
That's why y'all only get together once a year for
Christmas.
Day.
Yeah, that. Yeah, family day and Christmas night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Weird. I never thought about it that way. My family's wild. I thought yours was crazy. Mine's crazier.
Yeah.
Anyway, so nobody's going to listen to this anymore because we're putting everybody down today. Gosh. We're not trying not to be mean. We're just telling the truth. Y'all be crazy.
We love our families, I promise.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get out of here so you can get warm up, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go ahead and put on record. What do you want to talk about next time so you can't put me on a spot this time?
What do you want to talk about? I chose this one, so.
I wanted to talk about homeschool because I thought that's what we were talking about today.
All right, we're talking about homeschool next week.
Homeschool next time. It's on the record.
Can't change it now.
Yeah, that's why I kind of struggled and bumbled. Bumble struggle.
You didn't bumble.
It was a bumble struggle.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to come up with a new term every time. Bumble struggle. I'm going to start making stickers. Bumble struggle. How'd your day go? Man, it was a bumble struggle.
I'm hitting the button, so tell them bye.
The ending of this podcast is a mumble struggle. All right, she's about to turn us off now. Hope you all learned a little bit of something, enjoyed it a little bit at least. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
Bye. Oh my God.